Welcome. Good morning. Glad you're here at Calvary this morning. If you have a Bible, let's open together to the New Testament book of 2 Corinthians and chapter 9. It's the third in a series of messages on God's glory in our giving. This morning, God's joy in our giving. And don't you love these messages on financial stewardship? Listen, I have a wish for you. I really have a deep prayer for you. And it is that you will be financially in the will of God. That you'll be as limited in your debt as possible. And that you'll be as generous in your life as possible as a reflection of who God is and what He has done for you. And when we're talking about financial stewardship as it's taught in the Scriptures, it did occur to us that it would be helpful for our congregation to have the kind of resources that would help every family, especially many of our young families who are starting out, coming out of college with debt already as you enter the workplace, to have a seminar that might help you. And so coming up at Calvary on Saturday, the 22nd of October, and Sunday, the 23rd, we're having a financial freedom debt workshop to help you. If you're in a place where you need some assistance, this will be a seminar that will teach some biblical principles of financial management and the best way to reduce your debt as soon as possible. We believe that it's necessary at times to have some debt, but we as a church live with as little debt as possible, and today we have none. We want to have as little as possible. And we want you to be financially free too, and this is a resource that we're providing for you. And if this would help you either on this campus or over in Erie on the 23rd on Sunday afternoon, we encourage you to do that. As well, a note for those of you who are members of Calvary, a week from tomorrow night is our semi-annual congregational meeting, members meeting, and that will happen here at Calvary, a mid-year report, a report on where we are in our land acquisition and planned project in Erie and here in Boulder, and that will be Monday, October 17th, a week from tomorrow night here on this campus. All right? Now, let's turn to our message this morning, God's joy in our giving, and our eye falls on chapter 9, verse 6, where Paul says, "Now I say also, he who sows sparingly will reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will reap bountifully." And then here's our key verse. We'll put it on the screen. We'll read it together. "Let each one do just as he has purposed in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver." He loves a cheerful giver. God loves a cheerful giver. That cheerful is the word in Greek, hilarion, from which we get hilarious. And, you know, we've periodically said we want to have a hilarious offering this morning in which we just say, you know, this is such a joy to give to the Lord, because God delights in people who have been so transformed by His grace that when it's time to be generous, that it is just a joy for us to be generous with what God has given to us. And He has joy in our giving when we say, "Lord, we recognize that we are able to give in this spot because You have given first, and when we give, You give again," which we're going to look at in just a moment. God is a giver. He's generous. And, you know, there are all kinds of reasons probably to be nervous to talk about giving and money in church. A pastor went to his church and he said, "You know, I have bad news and I have good news and I have bad news." He said, "The bad news is that the roof needs to be repaired and it's very expensive." And all the church went, And then he said, but I have good news. We have more than enough money to pay for it. And everybody said, ah. He said, the bad news is it's still in your pockets. Okay, that's a little pastor humor on money. I like it even more than you did. Okay, I don't want you to be nervous because of this key verse. I don't want you to be nervous when we talk about giving. Because God doesn't want you to be nervous. You know what God wants for you? He wants you to be free. So that without grudging and without compulsion, as a response of your heart, you say to God, this is my offering. And I'm not telling you what it is. I'm not even telling you what percentage it is. I want you to say, Lord, out of the response of my heart to you, without any sense of, ugh, I'm happy to give this for you and your glory. That's what I wish for you as your pastor. I don't want you to have any guilt as we wrap up this series. I want you to really be free before the Lord and ask the question, Lord, if you love a cheerful giver, you have a special blessing that you give to those who joyfully release their things for you and your glory. Am I in that? And could I grow in that? Because I want to be in the place where it says of me, God loves what I am doing with what he has given to me. I want to be there. I want you to be there. Now, what will help us this morning is to travel through, beginning at verse 6. Here's three principles I want to give to you. Number one, I want to focus on God's joy to give us true riches as we're generous. God's joy in our giving is that God delights that when we give financial or physical resources to those in need, to those he leads us to, he has joy to replenish our heart with what the Bible calls true riches. So let's look and see where that is. Verse 8, God is able to make all grace abound to you, that always, having all sufficiency in everything, you may have abundance for every good deed. As it's written, he scattered abroad and gave to the poor, and his righteousness abides forever. That's a quote from Psalm 112. Now, verse 10, he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your what? Your righteousness. Now, Paul is talking to the Corinthians to encourage them to give to the saints in Jerusalem who are struggling. And his argument is that as you become generous, God has joy because he loves generous givers, hilarious givers, that God has joy to replenish your gift with true righteousness, with a kind of blessing from God that is both immediate and eternal, that you will receive a blessing from God for what you do in your giving. It's as if you give dollars and God gives a kind of real riches, true riches that last eternally. Now, how does it happen? How does giving financially put us in the flow of receiving from God righteousness and his blessings in our spiritual life? Well, I would suggest to you that when we give, one of the things that happens is our affections and our values are tuned up. That when we give generously, something happens on the inside of us whereby we say in our giving, this is the Lord's, right? I would say, well, I'm going to throw $5 in the plate today, so that's the Lord's. Well, yeah, it is. As is everything. When you give generously, what you're saying is, that's the Lord's too. And everything I have left is the Lord's. And when I give in that fashion, my heart is being weaned from, and I need all of this to survive. Because really what I need is the Lord. And I, by my giving, I model my resting in the Lord, that he's the source of everything that came to me, and he's the one who can replenish it to my heart. So God's joy to give true riches is manifest in a couple warnings in the Bible. From Luke chapter 12, verse 30, Jesus was talking in that text on the Sermon on the Mount, and he said, "But seek first the kingdom of God, and these things will be added to you. Do not be," what? "Do not be afraid." Do you ever get afraid about your finances? Yeah, okay, I get that. And Jesus understands that too. And what is he saying? Do not be afraid. Little flock. If you're the flock, Jesus is talking to us in that way, who is he? He's the shepherd. Do not be afraid, little flock. Your Father has gladly chosen. Has chosen gladly. There it is. There's God's joy in giving. Has chosen gladly to give you the kingdom. Now I see three pictures of my Savior and my Father in heaven. A father, a shepherd, and a king. And that's the one to whom I belong. So, does that make more sense then to not be afraid? If you have a father who has all the riches of heaven, if you have a king who's going to be the King of Kings and there'll be no rivals with him, and you have a shepherd, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Do not be afraid. Now let's read the next two verses. Sell your possessions and give to charity. And make yourselves purses which do not wear out. An unfailing treasure in heaven, where no thief comes near, no moth destroys. Oh, so here's the trigger. That the things I have, I give generously, because what it translates in my generous giving of selling my possessions and giving to charity is that it stores up real riches for eternity that will never diminish and never wear out and never be destroyed. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. God's joy in our giving is that when we give, he replenishes us first in real riches, both now and eternity. And part of the real riches is giving to us a heart like his. A heart that sees the needs of people, a heart that loves him and has a capacity to love as he loves, a heart that sees needs and responds to needs as God does. You can even hear the New Testament, how you who see a need and you close your heart against it, how does the love of God abide there? I think what Paul is saying in Corinthians is that God has joy to give to generous givers a kind of righteousness that replenishes at the deepest level of our heart. It's more blessed to give than to receive. Words of Jesus. How does that blessing happen? How does the blessing happen? I think that's part of what God is doing when you give, and it will be given to you a harvest of righteousness. Verse 10. Secondly, there is a second way God's joy is seen, God's joy to meet our needs. That when we give, God has joy in his givers to meet their needs. Not only to give them a kind of righteousness that maybe is an eternal reward, a blessing in their own heart, that they grow in Christ's likeness by being generous, but there is a meeting of needs. Now, here is one of the most superlative verses in all of the Bible. 2 Corinthians 9:8. "And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that always having all sufficiency in everything, you may have an abundance for every good deed." Now there are a lot of superlative words, because Paul's making a point, and the point he's making is this: you cannot give more to God than he can replenish. And if you give, God is committed. He is purposed to give an abundance to you to meet the needs of your life, that in all things, in all sufficiency and everything, you will have abundance for every good deed. God's people who give with generosity, God meets their needs. There's one who scatters and yet increases all the more, Proverbs says. The generous man will be prosperous, and he who waters will himself be watered. The man who lends to the poor lends to the Lord, and the Lord will repay him for his good deed. He's generous will be blessed. Jesus said it will be given to you if you give. Good measure, pressed down, running together, shaken together, running over, and they'll pour in your lap, for by the standard in which you measure will be measured to you. What was God saying? You can trust me in this, that you understand that what you have and maybe don't want to give, God gave you. And if you are generous with it, God is able to make all grace abound to you to replenish that if he wants you to have more and he wants you to have other. God's approval is seen both in the spiritual provision, his joy to say, I bless your life, and I bless your needs, and I'll meet your needs. I am so thankful to stand before you, and without boasting, to say God has been faithful in my life as I've given to him and to meet my needs. And I have lived my life in some stages of really deep need. When I went to school, and when I lived in the early years of my marriage, and I had, you know, nothing. Lucy and I were faithful to sort of honor the Lord first in all that we had. And I can just tell you, as probably many in this room and many in the gathering could say to us today, the Lord was faithful to meet my needs as I honored him first. Proverbs 3:9-10 says, honor the Lord from the first of your produce. I really believe that's a strategic principle for this whole area of generosity and giving and the grace of God. And what pleases God is that when his people say, the first that I get is for God. A little parenthesis. I had somebody ask me a couple weeks ago a question about how do you decide how much to give versus how much to pay off your debts? And I would just put in this principle that I've just mentioned to you first, as you think about your financial stewardship and what the Bible teaches here, is that your first response always is to the Lord for something. And then you come back to these principles in which you don't see a particular amount or percentage. Here's what you see. From your heart to the Lord, not sparingly. You know when you say sparingly, someone says, please spare my life. What does that mean? Let me keep it. Okay, let me keep it. So here's what's Paul saying. Give to the Lord, not sparingly. Not, I'm going to keep it. But, you know, as the Lord leads you. Not grudgingly or under compulsion, but in a way that says, oh man, I'm so happy to give, as the Lord laid this on my heart to give. That's the way we want you to think about your giving to Calvary, not under any compulsion, but a joy to give, because the joy of your giving brings glory and joy to God in the way that you give. Because, and when you give in this way, God delights to give you riches in your heart, of a deeper spiritual life with him and eternal reward. And he has promised to meet your needs. And lastly, I think God's joy can be seen in our generous giving as he leads many people to bring him praise. Let's look at a couple of verses here that as God's people give. Verse 11, you will be enriched in everything and live in everything for all liberality, which is producing thanksgiving to God. And then verse 12, for this ministry of service is not only fully supplying the needs of the saints, but also overflowing through many thanksgivings to God. Because the proof given by this ministry, they will glorify God. For your obedience to your confession of the gospel of Christ. Now, this is a very fascinating statement that Paul said to the Corinthians. You give for those in Jerusalem, when they get that, they are going to overflow with many thanksgivings to God for the way you, Corinthians, have given so generously as an obedience to your confession to the gospel. That is, that you trusted Christ and you know that he's a giver. You know he gave his life for you. So you have responded to Christ and given generously to the Jerusalem saints. And they overflow with glory to God and thanksgiving to God because of your generosity on their behalf. I want to say, when God's people give generously, what God is up to, unseen to us, is raising up a people who are going to give glory to God because someone was not tied to their stuff to the extent that they couldn't release their money and their needs were met. It's a beautiful picture. I think heaven is going to be filled with all these kind of stories that we say, God laid it on the heart of someone here to give to this need over there. And when that need got there, this person maybe never saw the fruit of what their gift gave. But there's a whole group of people whose needs were met and they glorify God and they give him praise. I mean, think about it this way, that a church in Corinth gives to saints in Jerusalem, and the Jerusalem saints, their needs are met, and they give praise to God, and the churches are sort of tied together in this fraternal bond of God met your needs, and you gave to us, and God met our needs through your giving, and God is praised on both sides. It's not far from what we're thinking about doing in our two campuses, of thinking about building a church in Erie and a building where in 25 years from now, in a building there, there'll be hundreds, maybe thousands of people who worship there whom we don't know, but our giving to that project is going to proclaim the gospel, and there'll be a faithful confession of the gospel of Christ out of Erie. And hundreds of people come to know Christ, and they may not know where'd this building come from. There was a group of people back in 2011 who said, you know what? To God be the glory for what we're going to do. Because God has joy in the generosity of his people because it brings praise and thanksgiving to him, and he's seen as the source of all things. I pray that God will be glorified in all that we do here, and that all of us will understand that what God does in our life in the increase that he gives to us, when we give generously and God gives us blessings that are real righteousness and he gives us the ability to give more, that God may bless you financially not to increase your standard of living, but to increase your standard of giving. And say, okay, excel in this as you excel in everything else. And I pray that all happen for God's glory. Let's pray together. Lord, I thank you that you've given to us a great word in the scriptures about the way the gospel really is the source of grace. And we say, as Paul closes that text, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. And I bless you for the way Paul takes us back again to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we remember your grace to us through Christ. And I ask you, God, to continually make us people of grace, people who understand that all that we have comes from you, and all that we have is for you and for your glory. And I pray that there will be such a freedom within our congregation and all of our hearts to really be sensitive to what the Lord wants to do in us with regard to our things and with regard to our wealth. And I pray that you will find joy in the hilarious giving of your church. Be glorified, Lord, as our gifts meet needs of others, bring glory to you, and result for us in a deeper awareness of the love and righteousness of God. Do that in our hearts for your glory, I pray. And may the gospel of Jesus Christ, that transforming message that Jesus saves and transforms sinners, be seen again and again in our church, in every expression of our worship and our giving. And we pray that yours will be the glory. And Lord, I pray for those who are under a pile financially and really in a situation of great stress and anxiety because of financial needs. And I pray, God, that you will give help and you'll give hope for a way in which you could redeem those mistakes of overspending or those mistakes of unexpected reversal, those uncertain things that often happen and that have happened in this present economy for us. I pray that you'll reassess in our mind and hearts and affections the values of the things that we hold most dear. And I pray you'll do your work to strengthen our church and our community and our relationships with each other. I thank you that there is a family relationship that happens for us as a church as we trust you for our finances. Make us aware of those in need, dear God, that we might meet their needs. And I pray that you'll do this for the strengthening of your church, for the glory of the gospel of Jesus Christ, our Savior, who became poor that we might become rich. In his name we pray together. Amen.